Welcome to Mindset 52 Podcast, your source for powerful strategies and uplifting stories from top-tier achievers, athletes, entrepreneurs, and industry visionaries. Discover how they thrive in their fields while staying true to what really matters: personal well-being and family. Immerse yourself in their transformative insights and step closer to your highest potential. This is Mindset 52. Here we go.
Welcome everyone to Mindset 52 with JR Rivera. Today's podcast, we have Van Deeb, real estate entrepreneur, most serial entrepreneur, has been a long time coming, been wanting to get you on the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, I'm a big fan of yours. I've watched you in your career, and I'm honored to be with you today.
I appreciate that. Van, there's so much to cover today. I want to kind of take it back, if you want to kind of talk a little bit about
back in the 1920s.
Back in the day. Tell me a little about your upbringing. Obviously, you know, you got into real estate, but how did everything happen? You're from Omaha?
Yeah. My whole family, we're from a small town called Kearney, Nebraska.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And my mom's whole heritage, she had 9 siblings. Wonderful family, and we moved to Omaha when I was 6, and my whole family are teachers and preachers, so I was the only oddball that I'm the youngest of 5. I was what they call a mistake, so my siblings are a lot older than me, but I was rebellious, nonconforming, got in a lot of trouble, but mostly the kind of trouble that made my teachers laugh, you know. So I was kind of a clown, but I just didn't see myself as being a teacher or a preacher. I admire both those professions more than you know by growing up with it, but I wanted to be in sales, man. So I picked a career right out of college. I was a horrible student. If they would have had ADD back then, I would have been a poster child, because I could sit in a classroom and look at my teacher and for an hour and not remember one thing she said. but I wanted to get in sales, so I was fortunate. At 23, I broke into the real estate business, and 42 years later, I'm still can't wait to go to work every day.
So while you were super young, 23, did you have something that you kind of wanted to get into, specifically into real estate? Was there something that caught your eye?
You know, here's the thing is, I grew up in a family that we didn't have a lot of money. I didn't know we didn't, because we were so happy.
Sure.
You know, we had a lot of love. We never went out to eat. Everything was, you know, we were very frugal because we didn't have a lot. My dad worked 2 or 3 jobs. And so real estate to me was going to be an avenue to build some financial wealth. And I love the idea that I get to be around different people all the time. And I love humans, you know. I just love being around good people. And so this career was perfect for me.
I love that. Yeah. You know, some people ask me too, why insurance? And it's like hard to really say, I've always thought about being, no, you don't think about being an insurance agent.
Yeah, but you're the same way. You're really good with people.
That's exactly it.
And people trust you. And so if they trust you, they're going to do business with you.
100%. It's relationships, and I love building relationships and maintaining growing relationships to hopefully new opportunities.
Yeah.
So you saw opportunity there, mm-hmm. and you grew up here. You went to UNO, right?
Yes.
You played college football?
I did.
That's awesome. Yeah. That was at UNO.
That was back at UNO when we had a football team.
Right. Was there competition back then with UNL, or is there?
No, not really. Usually the people that went to UNO didn't get a scholarship to UNL.
Gotcha.
But it's just a great community. You know, we had a great football team, and the community rallied behind us.
Yeah, I love it. I went to UNO as well. Graduated from UNL.
Yeah.
So, and then Dallas, completely different.
You know, I went to Padre Island for spring break during college, and we drove through Dallas. I've never been out of Omaha. We didn't go on vacations, not very much. And I was amazed at this gigantic city that we're driving through, this big bus full of college students. And I said, someday I want to come back and check this out. So after college, I loaded everything I owned into my piece of junk car that didn't go more than 60 miles an hour, and I just drove south. I had $500 to my name. As soon as I got to Dallas, my car broke down, and there goes 250 of my 500. So I got a job the first day I got there. I started working, and I didn't know if I was going to stay a week, a month, or whatever. But then I got into real estate, and it was the number one real estate market in the country in 1983. And I cut my teeth, getting in the business. And, you know, when you get into insurance or when you get into real estate, the first thing you're supposed to do is to contact everybody you know.
100%.
Hey, I'm JR. I'm an insurance. Mm-hmm. Tell everybody to use me for all their insurance needs. I knew no one. So I had to reinvent cold calling. I had serious calling strangers, and just everywhere I went, hey, if you want to buy or sell a house. I mean, I was obnoxious. I mean, I'm the gas station attendants back when they had them. I mean, I was like, anybody that was breathing, I'm asking them to do business with me, which is why I wrote the book, The Power of Asking, because I really believe in asking for business. But then people started to get to know me. I became addicted to real estate. I worked 7 days a week for months on end. And before I know it, several years later, I couldn't walk in a store in Dallas without somebody saying, there's the real estate guy, because I was on billboards. I marketed every dollar I
Everything
made, every dollar in. I made, I threw it back into marketing, because it's exposure. I mean, guys like you and I, JR, we have to let people know we're there.
God, that gets the engine running, man.
Yeah, and so we just, it's exposure. And then after a while, you're not spending those acquisition costs.
100%.
You're just out there and, you know, people trust you. And, you know, my philosophy is I never want to give one of my clients a reason not to use me again, and one, and two, to always refer me. So that's... It's worked for
phenomenal. Yeah. That's honestly the catalyst of what every businessman is trying to achieve. But not everybody is willing to put in all that work to get there.
Yeah.
Now, how do you think that happens? Do you think that's somebody that's kind of born with that salsa, that flavor, you know, or do you think it's something that maybe is learned? Do you think it's a chip on your shoulder that you maybe
had
a little bit? Yeah.
I've never been asked that, but you hit it right on the right on the money, a little chip on your shoulder. Yeah. I didn't do all these things to prove people wrong. I did things to prove myself right. And so I mastered the 5 D's.
I like that.
Yeah, I mastered the 5 D's: drive, desire, determination, discipline, and decision. Without making good decisions, nothing happens. But, you know, you've got to be motivated. And, you know, so I wanted to stand out amongst my industry by being known for, when you call Van, he gets back to you immediately. And that's been my stick my entire career is, one of the ways I can show people respect is to get back with them immediately. I can't tell you how many deals I've gotten where I've called, where I've asked them, I said, hey, I'm so grateful we're doing business together. I'm just curious, why did you choose me? And 9.9 out of 10 times it was, you're the only one that got back to me the same day. It's amazing. But that's how we show people respect is, you know, people are calling us Monday morning at 10 o'clock because they want to talk to us Monday morning at 10 o'clock, not Thursday with a phone call saying, oh, you know what, I've been really busy. I noticed you called on Monday. So I was the guy that no matter what, how busy I was, and I was busy, I'd call people back and I'd say, hey, I'm with clients all day. You're very important to me. Where can I call you back tonight after 8 o'clock? And you know what? Not one person said, call me after 8. They said, no, that's fine. Just call me tomorrow. Because I showed them that they matter.
100%.
And we're in a world today where people don't show people that they matter. And I refuse to let people be in my camp that don't make me feel like I matter. And I don't want them to feel that about me. I want to make sure everybody in my camp knows and, you know, that they matter to me.
That's such an important, I think, thing to live by in business, is treating everyone like a human being. And I think people forget that and start talking transactions. Yeah. They start thinking transactions. They start thinking about the commission.
And you're the same way, though. I mean, you and I have similar business philosophies. I know how you love taking care of your customers. Yep. I mean, you've got a reputation for that. And if people would only get it, you don't have to be this rock star. You just have to care deeply about your clients and, you know, and let them know that they're important. That doesn't mean you're going to be able to accommodate all their needs, but at least they know you care.
So true. As a young entrepreneur, getting into the business and learning all these things, that did you have a mentor? Did you have certain people that kind of, or were you just kind of self-taught and running to walls and learning and then running through another one? Is that, was it just trial and error?
You know what? There were people that I looked up to that I thought did really good at what they did for a living that I wanted to emulate, but I didn't have anybody to call and say, hey, what do you think about me doing this? Give me an idea. Nothing like today. Like today we have, you and I have resources.
Sure.
We can call people up and say, what do you think about this? I just want your opinion. But I didn't have any of that. I made a ton of mistakes, but I learned from my failures. And that makes me, you know, I do motivational speaking the last 25 years. It makes me a better speaker because I've experienced so many victories.
It comes from the heart.
Yeah.
You right, feel exactly. That every single story, you probably, it's down in grave, right? Yeah. That adversity just makes you, oh man.
Adversity creates opportunity.
100%.
They really do. And challengers, you know, there's no such thing as climbing a mountain that doesn't have jagged edges. We're all going to go through it. There's going to be days that you may wake up and say, I don't want to do this anymore. But then a couple hours later, you go, I'm going to get through it. And I'm going to be a rock star. You know,
I love that.
Because we all have the ability. I really believe, JR, that God created all of us equally. I really believe that. I believe that we make the decision if we want to elevate ourselves and separate ourselves from the pack. And I talk to so many people that say, you know, I don't want to live an average life. My first response is, then you have to be an above average person. We got to do things that nobody else is willing to do.
That needs to go on a t-shirt. That's good.
Maybe we can start a business.
That's it, right? Yeah. No, that's phenomenal. Moving and growing with your industry, moving as an individual, growing as an entrepreneur. Did you ever find yourself that you needed to kind of step away from certain jobs or certain job titles, certain activities, and maybe get some help? You have some people in key roles to help you then almost fire yourself and to be able to grow and to step into the new opportunities that need to happen?
That's a great question. So I was very fortunate. When I built my first real estate firm, I worked for another firm in Dallas for 10 years. And then for family reasons, I moved back home to Omaha, Nebraska after being in Dallas for 10 years. And I started Deeb Realty out of my basement. And I didn't plan on growing it. I'd already experienced a ton of success, and now I'm home. Now I can call my old buddies from grade school, high school, college, all my friends, my family's here. So I was like, I'm going to just be me, myself, and that's it. And then other realtors start seeing how I do business. They're like, hey, I want to be part of this. And so all of a sudden, I got 10 people, 20, 100, 200, 300, almost 400. All of a sudden, we got the largest independent real estate firm in the Midwest. All from my basement, and now I sold it. Now the company's called Nebraska Realty, and they've got 1,000 agents. So the company is just one of the largest in the United States. But, you know, we just kept growing and growing and growing. And it's because when you build a culture of taking care of people. So to go back to your question, I surrounded myself around good humans. The staff at my last company was off the charts, wonderful people. I had the best manager in the planet. And I looked at, even though he didn't own it, I did. I looked at him as my boss because he was the manager of the general manager of the company. He did such a great job. He started out answering phones at my company, and then I elevated him to assistant manager, manager, general manager, and then I sold him the company.
Oh my gosh.
So it's a pretty cool story. And then I retired from real estate when I sold the company for about 30 minutes. because I never got out of it. And then about 15 years later, I find myself, JR, mentoring so many real estate agents in the Omaha, Nebraska area. I was like, you know what? These guys aren't getting the training where they're at. Obviously, they're paying me. I'm just going to put a team together, build another company. And my job is to help them become the best version of themselves. So I'm keeping this company small, Prime Realty. We have about 30 agents. I don't want more than 50. I want to keep it intimate where we all know each other. We all know each other's kids, and we're family. I even have family dinners at my house once every 2 months for the agents. They all bring a covered dish, and we get to know each other. But I want to keep this company, Prime Realty, a real family-oriented real estate firm.
I love that. In today's world, do you see a certain change in the dynamic maybe of how you are approaching this firm, this new operation versus Deep?
There's a lot different. So I'm only staying in my lane. You know, at the last company, I was trying to be a little bit of everything. And my job at Prime Realty is to motivate, inspire, and empower people I work with, build their confidence that if this person can be a rock star in real estate, you can too. Let's get you there. Let me help you get to where you want to go. So that's my space at Prime Realty. I've got other people that are great, like Katie Keith is a dream come true. I mean, Katie Keith, Aileen, which we've talked about, Aileen Beyer, but I want to tell you, I surround myself around really good people because they bring out the best in me. And staying in my space of just what I'm good at is really the biggest difference from this company to my last one.
With all that you have going on, you also managed to write several books. How many, is five, I think?
I wrote a sixth book about my dog.
Oh, right on.
So I got away from the inspirational books for one book, and I wrote about I've never had a dog, JR, and I got one at 60 years old, my very first dog, and all my friends say, what happened to you? You used to want to come hang out with us. And now, because every free second I have, I want to spend with my dog.
Sure, yeah.
So he's my everything. The poor guy has to listen to my speeches, and I ask him to critique me, and he just looks at me like, what's wrong with you? So I've written.
What's his name?
Baxter.
Baxter.
Of course, I'm a goofball. I like stupid movies that make me laugh. And the movie Anchorman.
That's the first thing I thought about.
So Will Ferrell's dog is Baxter. So I had
him. I love it.
I got him at 2 months old. He'll be six February 13th. I got him at 2 months old, and his name was Arnie, which is a cool name.
Yeah.
But it had to be Baxter.
That's awesome. You know, with everything that you have going on, how do you, I guess this is a difficult question to answer, but everybody has their own idea of what balance is to them. Yeah. Some people, the balance is doing what they love, and doing what they love is what they do.
Yeah.
So what is your balance? What does balance mean to you?
That's probably one area that I will never give people advice on because I was rotten at it. If it didn't involve real estate or some sort of putting a deal together or a speaking opportunity, that's all I wanted to do. And I regret it. I regret it because I didn't get a chance to have the white picket fence with the wonderful family and all that stuff. I've got a wonderful daughter, but, you know, she watched me work a lot. If I could do it over again, I would have really incorporated balance.
Yeah.
And but balance to me now is I don't set as many appointments. I'm being real selective of what I do and don't do. Quality time with my dog, with my family, with friends are real important to me. But we have to create our own balance. We can't have somebody do it for us.
Yeah, and I do see that balance seems to morph into depending on the individual that we are at that time.
Yeah.
And I think time, experiences, and overall life just changes what that means to us. And I think it's all just a journey, which is the name of your radio show, right?
It is, and I want you to be a guest.
I would love to.
Yeah, so we're going to have you on. Yeah, so the journey is I interview people like yourselves that are making things happen in Omaha. I've had people from Shark Tank on. I've had politicians, Heisman Trophy winners, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, and owners of small businesses like yours and mine. And I do it because I learn a lot, and I like to promote people.
That's one of the things coming back to, it's the relationships. I love building new relationships and understanding how people are doing what they do, doing it at a high level. And with Mindset 52, coming back to that idea of, you know, what life kind of looks like to you, what success in general looks like to you. What do you think that success look like to you back when you were out there in Dallas? You know, that gleam in your eye, you know, future, everything ahead of you. What did you, do you remember kind of what you thought of, you know, the world is yours kind of taking on?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I always used to say that the world is ours if we, you know, we can do anything we want to do. And I read a book back in 1983 that was written in 1936 by Napoleon Hill called Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, great book.
Yeah. It's the second all-time bestseller today.
Yeah.
And that was written almost 100 years ago. But there's a line in there that if you can conceive it and believe it, you can achieve it. And I took that to heart in 1983, that if I want something bad enough and I really believe in it, I know I can get it. And so that kind of was my mantra. It stayed with me. But my first goal getting in real estate was to be able to afford a car that went more than 60 miles an hour. And then I started building.
Make it back to home.
Yeah, and then my next year, I wanted a car that went over 70. And then, no. But I just kept building my goals. But I'm a frugal guy. I mean, I only have one credit card. I mean, I want to save. So I had money goals. I didn't have material goals. I had more of a savings goal.
Yeah.
That I wanted to. I wanted to work towards being financially independent. And, you know, it's an ongoing process, but trying to do the right thing with your hard-earned.
That's a very mature angle to approach, at least from a young entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And how do you think that has morphed, or has it now come, you know, years later?
Yeah. You know, I'm still that same frugal.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still that same guy that is cautious, but I like nice things.
Yep.
But I still only have one credit card.
Yep.
But you know, I'm just, as I've gotten older, I'm grateful. I'm more grateful than I've ever been. That's part of I've grown up. And you use the word mature. Mature and my name never went in the same sentence most of my life, because I still feel like I'm a big kid. I think being an adult is highly overrated. I do it because people aren't going to buy real estate from a punk, so I have to pretend I'm an adult. You know what I mean? But in my mind is of a fun, playful young guy. That's how I feel inside. But gratitude is everything. I mean, JR, I find myself, like, even in the shower in the morning, saying out loud, thank you, God, for hot water. I mean, look at all the people that can't say that. You know, the little things that we have to be grateful for. And I think you recognize that as you get older.
100%. I think so. I think there's also sometimes life situations that kind of change your, I guess, your understanding. And you get away from your own perception, and you realize that there is perspective and there are other perspectives on the table, and somebody else's perspective of life might be a lot different than yours. And we are lucky, we are blessed.
Yes.
And having that attitude, I think, is monumental to keeping a good faith and good direction in life.
Yep.
I love that.
And try to help as many people as possible get to where they want to go.
I love it. Yeah. Any last message that you want to give to the public?
My goal, someone asked me what I'm trying to accomplish with whatever years I have left, whatever God-given years I have left, and my number one goal is to help people believe in themselves. We all have the ability, everybody has the ability to become anything we want to be. I was a punk kid. I mean, my parents were, you know, my brothers and sisters, their goals was to get them a PhD or a master's degree. And with me, they just said, we hope you don't die, because I was wild. So, I mean, I'm a punk kid that is proof that when you set your mind and you believe in yourself, mindset like you talk about, there's nothing we can't do if we want it bad enough. Some of us have to work a little harder than our competitors and our counterparts. But we have the ability to accomplish anything we want to if we want it bad enough. That means being a great business owner, a great employee, a great mother, a great father, a great child, a great significant other. If we want to be this person bad enough, we have that ability.
I absolutely love that. Mr. Van Deeb, thank you so much for joining me today on Mindset 52 Podcast. We're going to have to run it back and do another one sometime in the next season. I appreciate your time so much.
I'll be waiting out of the parking lot.
Let's make it happen. Okay, thank you, sir.
I'm honored to be here.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, JR.